The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It is Thursday, October 3rd, and we are here live and local in the studio welcoming Pittsfield Public Schools Superintendent Joseph Curtis this morning. And Superintendent Curtis and I will be talking about the upcoming discussion that the schools are having surrounding school grade realignment. So a really good show if you're interested in what's going on with that process. Certainly that was something that was discussed earlier this year back in the springtime, and when the schools were applying to the Mass School Building Authority to look into funding for a new school here in Pittsfield. So there are big, big issues we're going to talk to Superintendent Curtis about upcoming in this program. I know you're going to want to stick around and listen to the whole show. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 40s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, so kind of a quick weather forecast there. That's good. Not too much going on. We are hearing, of course, that the temperatures are going to cool off just a little bit. Not bad. I was hearing the longer range is somewhere in the 60s instead of the 70s and 80s. We kind of got used to that for a while around here. We had kind of an extended summer this year, it feels like. We had a kind of a really nice stretch of weather for a while. It wasn't too hot. It was just a nice September. I think it was really enjoyable. But here we are in October, and the leaves are falling. If your yard is anything like my yard, you're starting to deal with the leaves now, getting the first pass before a whole bunch more fly down and fly around the neighborhood. So it is fall. All right. Welcome back to the show, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And with me here in the studio, Dr. Joseph Curtis, Superintendent of Schools. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I have to ask a question before we begin. Do you bag your leaves, Sean, or do you mulch them?
I mulch my leaves.
I do too.
Yeah.
I've seen for years the pain, if you will, that people go through to bag their leaves, and I will run them over with the lawn 100 times
exactly
before I bag my leaves.
I think that's a good move.
I was just curious about that.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I do go back and I pick up the excess mulched stuff, and I dump those in my compost pile. But otherwise, yeah, I'm not bagging and having like 50 bags of leaves out. No way I'm doing that.
We were fortunate when I was a child. We had a large kind of forest area across the street, so we would always put them on top of a large tarp.
Right.
And then drag them across the street. I don't know if we were supposed to do that, but that's what we did.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah,
if you're like me, I got like a million trees in my yard, too, it just seems like. And then, you know, everything blows in from everybody else. So
yeah, I have actually no trees in my yard, but a large forested area behind. So as you know, everything just comes over and blows in my yard. So I'm busy. I'll be mulching tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's our weekend gig, right? From
late
September through early November.
Absolutely.
It seems like. So welcome to the show. Thanks for being here
this
morning to talk about some very important issues going on
with
the schools and the school department. you know, I don't know where to start because there's so much going on. There's school buildings, there's changing in attendance districts, but let's start with the concept, I guess, of school grade realignment, because that seems to be the most immediate and the most the thing that could happen first in all of these processes,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, and I appreciate your acknowledgement, because the changes and what we're exploring right now, they truly are historic. Mm. It's been decades that we've had the same grade alignments, if mm-hmm. you will. Mm-hmm. So we've had kindergarten to grade 5. Now, you know, we have pre-K. So we have pre-K to grade 5, 6 through 8, mm-hmm. which we have called middle school, mm-hmm. And then 9 through 12. So last year we became embarked on an extensive restructuring study with a firm, DRA, and we had 13 actually community engagements where we went mm-hmm. out into different schools, different locations, the senior center, et cetera, and really started to discuss the possibility of changing how we do school. Mm-hmm. And as you know, currently we're in our elementary model, where you live designates where you go to school. So we started to put questions out there to community members, you know, what would happen and your perception of our school system if we change that. Hmm.
And that's probably a leftover remnant of, you know, the old community school model, right? Where
yes.
Pittsfield had, I don't even know how many, it was a lot more schools than
we
have now.
I think it was close to 40 schools when we had those smaller brick schools, mm-hmm. you know, one classroom per grade, one principal.
Right, right. And that had its advantages, and it was a moment in time, a place in time, right, where education models worked well in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I also think about, you know, family structures were different. Kids would walk to school because it was close. They might walk home for lunch because the schools had no cafeterias.
Yes, they did.
Right? They didn't have gymnasiums, things like that, right?
Exactly.
All kinds of different things now, requirements and expectations, I think, of our schools.
And as the city expanded, you know, they would erect another brick schoolhouse, if you will. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that was looked at closely in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And we had new school buildings built. We had school districts collapsed, if you will. And our most recent example of that is when we built Morningside, a community school in Westside, mm-hmm. then Westside, now Silvio Oconte Community School, where a number of schools were consolidated to build those larger community schools.
Mm-hmm. And that in itself, it's still probably fresh in some people's minds, but that's almost 50 years ago.
50 years ago, exactly.
Right.
And so it's to some of us, it seems like maybe yesterday, but it was 5 decades ago. So we have not looked at, you know, our structure really since mm-hmm. then.
And, of course, some of those school buildings got some love in the last 25 years. At the end of the 90s, for example, I think it was 7 schools that were reconstructed, including the 2 middle schools.
Yes.
But 5 of the 8 elementary schools got a refresh, basically a facelift in a lot of ways, to make them a little bit more modern. They were still built in the 50s, though,
yes.
So they're still aging schools. But the 3 schools that did not get that love are still operating as elementary schools, basically untouched since the time they were built.
Yeah, they've had very little renovation. They certainly have had things like roofs and work to the HVAC
sure.
system. But when the then Superintendent Travis remodeled the 5 elementary schools, those 2 larger community schools were only about 25 years old.
Right.
So, and they were certainly spacious for the time, large gymnasiums, cafeterias, et cetera. So they were not looked at for consideration in any upgrades or renovations at that time.
Right. And so getting back to the grade realignment idea, the concept would be that we could change the way that the middle school model is looked at, right? Right now, as you said, it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade in 2 different schools, kind of based on where you live in the city,
exactly.
Right? You go to one or the other of the schools based on your residence and based on your neighborhood and everything else. And there's a dividing line in the city somewhere. I'm sure there's a map that will tell you
where
that goes. And, of course, your buses will pick you up and take you to one school, and buses on the other side will pick you up and take you to the other school during that time. And up until very recently, that was true of the high schools as well.
Yes, right? I was just going to mention that until the school committee voted to make Taconic High School an all-CTE school. That is primarily how the high schools functioned as well.
Mm. And so the idea here is that the change would involve changing a grade structure so that you would have, what, a 5 and 6 in one of the schools. So every student who is in 5th or 6th grade in the entire city would go to one school. And then everyone who's in 7th and 8th grade in the city would go to the other school. And that reduces also the number of students that are in the elementary schools, because you no longer have the 5th graders there.
Yes, and that, you know, we have a large committee right now of roughly 30 members, half are parents. Mm. And so we just had our second meeting because that is one of the possibilities. One of the grade alignments that we presented to the community last year was to essentially build cohorts of children in the elementary schools that would feed into 1, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. We don't have a term for it yet, but we're saying maybe upper elementary or mini middle school. Yeah. We've been playing around with terminology. but that is one of the models where all the students in the city would go to 1, 5, 6 school and then move to a 7, 8 school.
Mm-hmm. And so they basically will, as a cohort, move all together.
Yes, right. They would. You know, right now, we have families that sometimes transfer back and forth between our middle schools. Maybe they've moved to another section of the city, et cetera. But this model would allow for everyone to go to one school and then transition together as a cohort to the 7-8 school.
So that seems like the most likely model, but it isn't the only one being discussed. What are some of the other ones, and how might they play out?
So another grade span model that the committee that we formed is discussing is really having elementary school, I'm sorry, grade 6 remain in an elementary school cohort.
Hmm.
And as we begin to examine that model, let's say a K to 2 and then a 3 through 6 elementary school.
Okay.
We're looking at the structures of our current buildings to see if there's capacity there to actually do that.
Hmm.
You know, one of the goals, if you will, that have been discussed is the ability to have universal pre-K, which drives some of this work as well. As you may know, we have we have pre-K classrooms in each one of our elementary schools, at least one, in some cases two.
And for a while, that was only in a few of the schools, right? So
yes,
now it's in every school?
Yeah, the community schools have had pre-K classrooms for a number of years.
Yeah.
Crosby Elementary School as well.
Mm-hmm.
But through a budget process a couple of cycles back, we were proposed placing a pre-K classroom, at least one in every school. But we are at capacity as it stands right now. So
there's a great demand, a great need for it.
A great demand. And there's waiting lists for the classrooms that we have now. They are integrated pre-K classrooms. So there's special education students and general education students in the same classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the model we have currently.
Okay.
But lots of discussion in the community about our ability to provide universal pre-K.
Hmm. And when you talk about universal pre-K, is that also going to, or looking forward, the state may actually mandate that, or something is that coming down the pipe as well?
That's a possibility. We've actually engaged in a grant to work with preschool partners across the city to see how we can expand pre-K in traditional and non-traditional ways. And I believe the state has put forth that opportunity, and we can certainly see universal pre-K, that mandate, if you will, in quotes, coming from state government at some point.
Yeah. And so what about expected enrollment and how that plays in? Because you mentioned the numbers and how these different models of grade realignment might play out, right? You have to sort of look at, okay, when you break it out this way, if you keep the sixth graders in the elementary and then seven and eight somewhere, that means X number of students in each classroom for each teacher. You know, it must have to somehow balance, right? And if it doesn't balance, it can't work for us.
That's one of the things that we're studying now. The desire, if the committee had the desire to keep sixth grade in our elementary schools, it would certainly hinder the possibility of having universal pre-K. And even if we did not consider universal pre-K, the existing facilities that we have right now, as far as we're studying currently with the enrollment projections as they are through 2032, our current elementary buildings, most of them would not have the capacity to keep sixth grade. We would need elementary school facilities that could hold at least 500 students.
That would be a big elementary school, right? Like there's only one elementary school now that's close to that, as in Egremont. Is that the largest?
Egremont, you know, Morningside in my time when I was principal, we had 546 students.
Okay.
And Conti as well. But, you know, those are buildings that have the capacity potentially, but we're trying to take out of service.
Right.
So when you look at a school building like Capeless, Stearns, et cetera, they do not have a capacity of 500 students in any way.
Right. Yeah, just the footprint of the building itself. Yeah. And then there are other problems with some of the elementary schools being able to have some of those younger students, right, the pre-K, the kindergarten, the first graders. There are requirements now with new buildings, if you're building them, or even, you know, if you're sort of qualifying the old ones, they have to have certain facilities, right?
Yes.
They have to have sinks, like in the classroom.
And
if you don't have
bathrooms,
that, bathrooms
as well.
Yeah.
Up to first grade, when you build a new building, they must have their own bathroom facilities, sinks, accessible counters. Mm-hmm. And many of our, when the elementary buildings were remodeled, a pre-K classroom was built in every facility.
So there was some forward thinking there
was,
for sure, right?
At that time. And as you know, that was in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. But there was. But again, there's only one classroom. So if we wanted to expand to two or three, the facilities would have to be modified as well. So it's something we're taking into consideration. Even if we do have universal pre-K in a different model. Mm-hmm.
So basically what I hear is that everything here is interconnected, right?
Everything.
It isn't like you can do
always
one thing and then not affect something else, because you know, you'll definitely need, if you're going to do a grade realignment, but you're also pursuing a school building, the school building has to be in sync with what the rest of the district is going to look like.
Yes, and the school committee, as you know, during this past summer, we had every intention of realigning the entire district or having a plan in place when the new school building on the west side opened. But the school committee expressed a desire, which I agree with completely, to accelerate the study of our middle school structure and have a recommendation by January of 2025 for implementation next school year.
Wow. So I'm looking at my calendar here, and that's about 3 months away.
It's very
tops,
aggressive.
Right? And ticking.
Right. And that's why it was so important to form a committee of staff members, families, and parents to really look at this and ultimately provide a recommendation that they feel like they could endorse to the school committee. And then there is a process, an extensive process, even after that recommendation has been made.
Yeah. We're speaking with Superintendent Joseph Curtis. He is the obviously superintendent of the Pittsfield Public Schools. And we're here on Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, talking about grade realignment and other issues surrounding some of the buildings and how kind of like a infrastructure level discussion here. The topic is how things work when input output, right? I mean,
yes,
this is what we're talking about. The finer things kind of follow along with that, I would think. But you have to have that base, that structure of knowing how things are going to function. So that's kind of what we're discussing here today.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, like when we started the show, we were talking about, you know, in the early 1900s, as the city expanded, they built another school brick house in a location that was convenient to walk. But we're trying to really develop a substantial plan that will forecast our needs both due to the population and the school structures and facilities well into the 2040s and 50s. Mm. So we're trying to ensure that as we change things, it fits into a long-term plan that's been approved and envisioned. So it's not done haphazardly.
Well, and I think that makes sense in a lot of ways because, you're investing, as it is, millions of dollars potentially into new school buildings. Everyone has to be on board with the idea of doing that. But then it can't just be 10 or 20 years later you want to shift gears and change something, right? You really have to look out into the future and say, and as we're looking back right now at the community schools, and we see those and we say, well, it seemed pretty good at the time.
That was
the educational concept, was the open classroom, right? It was a new idea. There were new educational ideas, it seems, coming out at that time. And that didn't age well in some ways, right?
It did not, and the building of Morningside and Silvio Conti Community Schools was really a huge credit to the city of Pittsfield at that time. They did a large investment in two of our neighborhoods in the city and trying to utilize what was thought of as the newest philosophies, et cetera, in education. So a real tribute, but it did not age well.
And it wasn't the only similar school. I went to high school in one exactly like that.
Yes.
With open classroom concepts. So that was the thing to do, certainly in the late 60s, early 70s. If you were building a new school, you were most likely going to go down that path, and that's why we have them. So, and the school buildings being 50 years old, it seems like it's a reasonable time to re-look at that and say, I guess you look at Pittsfield High School as an outlier of an old school that can still be functional and still be sort of in the mix, right, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And we actually were just talking about Pittsfield High School and our recent school building needs because the city is doing a large investment in the HVAC system within that school and new boilers and temperature control systems. So, we certainly see Pittsfield High School as a viable part of the overall structure and plan for decades to come.
Yeah. That school's not going anywhere.
No, it is not.
All you have to do is look at it. It is built like a tank in a lot of ways, isn't it?
And that the boilers that were in that school that they just removed, they were actually locomotives.
Yeah.
So that's really something to think that they parked three locomotives in that school to heat it.
And lasted nearly 100 years.
Yes,
absolutely. Pretty amazing if you think about it. So let's go back to the middle school realignment for a minute. So what's the basis for wanting to change specifically at the middle school level? That seems to be sort of the bullseye, the target, where we're looking to change first. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly, as I just mentioned, the school committee wanted the decision process and the change to be accelerated. Our middle schools do struggle. It's no secret. Mm-hmm. It's our largest school choice out of students happens in middle school, and we certainly know and recognize that. And, when we've done surveying in the past, it's for a variety of different reasons. Mm-hmm. We did a survey when I was the deputy superintendent, and it was really hard to identify any patterns and trends as to why. Sometimes it was due to work. Sometimes it was due to a smaller facility in another school district. Mm. But nevertheless, our middle schools, despite I would say heroic efforts from the teachers and the administrators in middle schools, they have struggled. Mm. So for those reasons specifically, and the high school choice outnumbers, the school committee, and I agree completely, wanted to accelerate it to a different model. So, the premise of that 5, 6, 7, 8 is trying to build a cohort of children that really stick together throughout their middle grades experience. Mm-hmm. Also, it would provide us an opportunity to do business differently, right? The middle school model was developed in put in place, you know, many decades ago. I went to school in a junior high school model,
right?
Which was 7, 8, 9.
And I think a lot of our older listeners will probably remember that time as well. That was very common, either a 7 and 8, and then you go to high school, or a 7, 8, 9, and then 3 years of high school. I think that was more common in the 50s, 60s,
70s,
started,
yeah,
even 70s, yeah. Started to change after that.
And, you know, many families and staff members, et cetera, they argued that to have sixth graders with eighth graders is a span that really ranges a different set of emotions and needs and supports. And I would agree with that completely. When you walk through, I walk through Reed or Herberg, and I can tell immediately, without knowing or asking, if I'm in a sixth grade classroom or an eighth grade classroom, just by the students, because they're dealing with so much in those middle grades, and every parent recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so can we provide a more supportive environment to fifth and sixth grade students that could primarily function, if you will? The committee's discussing it, starting at our next meeting, more like an elementary school, to really ensure that those sixth graders still get the supports they need while they're trying to transition to being more independent.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we create a 7-8 school, can we start to provide electives and vocational opportunities that will start our students thinking about a possible career path?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, there's an incredible set of opportunities at Taconic High School. Pittsfield High School, we're building what we call career paths. So we hope to have as many career paths available at Pittsfield High School as Chapter 74 programs at Taconic. And so if we can start providing our 7th and 8th graders some guidance, experience, and exploration there, then they can really make some informed decisions with their families on which high school to ultimately go to.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. And we talked about Taconic High School being an all-vocational school now, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be going to Pittsfield High School and not thinking about what you're going to do with your career, with your life, right? You're not ever just going to be in school.
Right.
At some point, you'll transition into the working world of some kind.
Yeah, and to give students, you know, because our students now are growing into a world where we don't even truly know what possibilities will be in existence by the time they graduate. So to start that thinking earlier in 7th and 8th grade, which sounds very hard to make that kind of decision, but, you know, there's so many of our middle schoolers that don't even know the possibilities out there.
Well, I think that is the time, though, when I think kids and their families start to understand what they might be interested in doing. It's not like you can lock anything in. I mean, there are people who are adults who are still trying to figure out what they're going to do when they grow up, right?
Yes.
That's okay. But the idea is you start to get an idea of what someone's good at, what they like to do, what they don't like to do. You know, the ways that they think, and are they good with their hands? I mean, there's lots of other, you know, things that sort of you identify in those years, right?
Right. And, you know, we do a hero's effort, if you will, of coming into our 7th and 8th grade classrooms now and introducing Chapter 74 possibilities at Taconic, but to really have day in and day out programming in our 7th and 8th grades, I think would make a substantial difference to make those choices.
Yeah.
And really see how many opportunities there are out there. As you know, our middle schools right now have, you know, some really traditional electives. And so we want to look at those as well and say, what can we do? We want to pull our students and our families and our staff members. What can we offer that'll better equip them with making that decision for high school?
Right. And then at the middle school level, if you, let's say that model, that primary model ends up the one that's favored, it sounds like it may, but it could go either way.
Could.
How many students will be at each school? So the 5 and 6 and then the 7 and 8, how many do you expect to be in each building?
That's a great question. So, you know, depending on how we decide to if that is the model and how we transition, but ultimately in our enrollment projections currently, going through 2032, each 5, 6, and 7, 8 school would have between 500 and 700 students.
Okay.
But that could fluctuate. Mm. And those enrollment projections that we had a firm complete Also factor in that we would make a change to possibly retain more school choice families within the Pittsfield Public Schools. Okay. So what the numbers might look like initially would be much smaller, but
room to grow, basically.
Room to grow. Yeah. And as you know, those middle schools many years ago had well over 700 or 800 kids.
So there's capacity there.
There
basically.
Is capacity.
There's enough room to do it, and that would be one of the key factors. How about the physical condition of those two buildings? Because again, those two buildings were originally built in the 50s as well, right? Somewhere in that range, as North Junior High School and South.
Mm-hmm.
Are they capable of keeping this going for another 20, 25 years before they're looking at something?
Yes. You know, actually, there's a new, brand new roof going on Reed Middle School.
Mm.
You know, the city has done great work in upkeep. And so we certainly feel, along with our structure study firm, that those would be viable for many decades to come. Now, would we have to do some retrofitting to classrooms and different spaces as we build career opportunities in both of the 7-8 school? Absolutely. You know, we've even talked about, you know, could we have a culinary offering in that 7-8 school?
Interesting.
And, you know, those were always part of any junior high school.
Right.
You know, it was called home economics,
sure.
I think, when we went to school. But, you know, would we have to build that back? Yes.
Yeah. But a lot of people would love to see that, too.
Yeah, there are many opportunities.
The really good experiences they had, let's say, in cooking or sewing or wood shop, right? There were a lot of vocational-type facilities in middle schools or in junior high schools.
Yeah, and it's too bad. You know, when we did the renovations of the middle schools, all of those things were taken out because the thought process at that time, everybody was trying to do what they thought was right, was it was all about computers and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So those experiences were taken out when it was remodeled and replaced with different opportunities related to computer technology, distance learning.
Which is still important, but
critically important. Yeah. But now that technology is mobile, and since the pandemic, we have really gained. I've always had it, but society as a whole has gained an appreciation for the trades like never before.
I think you're right.
And so we all know when we try to call a trades expert how long it can be and how expensive it can be.
Yeah, and what kind of demand there is for folks and what they can earn doing this. So no doubt about it. Superintendent Joseph Curtis is my guest here this morning. We're talking about Pittsfield Public Schools and grade realignment, school buildings. We'll tackle that in the second half of the program. We're going to take that top of the hour break right now, as we always do, and thank our underwriters and do our station identification. So stick with us, folks, through this, and we'll be right back after our break. This is 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Evgo Hypnosis. Join Evco Hypnosis October 17th for the inaugural Hypno Mixer for singles at J7 on Winter Street in Pittsfield. Discover the benefits of hypnosis while mingling with other singles in a relaxed and enjoyable setting. For more details and to register, visit evcohypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Hey, Berkshire seniors. Want to stay in your home and be independent as you age? Villages of the Berkshires is here to help. It's a local nonprofit organization based on national model of supporting community members. It provides services like helping with household tasks, running errands, driving to appointments, and finding home repair services. It also offers social visits and community organized events. To become a member, supporter, or volunteer, go to villagesoftheberkshires.org or call 413-409-6400. Financial support is available for member dues.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning, Thursday, October 3rd here, and kind of a gray, cloudy morning out there, but not too bad in the 50s or 60s. The weather forecast sounds pretty good. We'll hear that in just a moment. And then rejoin our conversation with Superintendent Joseph Curtis of the Pittsfield Public Schools, talking about a lot of the big things that are happening upcoming here in the school department and with buildings and grades and all kinds of good stuff. So right back to that in just a moment. Here's your weather forecast.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 40s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, not bad at all. We like that. We like short weather forecasts because nothing that's complicated, rain, snow, wind, anything like that. We managed to
snow.
Dodge a lot of,
not yet.
It's got to be coming, though. And nobody's going to be involved more than the superintendent of schools when the snow flies.
I keep thinking, well, this warm weather, it's starting to get colder now, will it last through next May? I was hopeful.
Yeah, no, not I don't quite. Think so. I guess not. No. But you never know what could come. And we'll see what happens. Last year, I think we didn't have too bad of a season, if I remember right.
We didn't. Yeah. It seems like more often now than ever that we have really close calls,
mm-hmm.
right? You're really not sure about the weather, and the forecast changes every hour. And so I've appreciated the very nice weather we've had recently.
We'll take it. So Superintendent Curtis, we're talking about grade realignment. I think we covered a lot of that in the first half. Let's talk about the school building process. And of course, it's connected to the realignment in a lot of
Absolutely.
Ways. But what is the concept of reinvesting and building a new school? And maybe give us a little background on Crosby Elementary School in particular and why that might be the likely site for a new building.
Well, we during the restructure study last year in identifying, one of the ultimate goals of that study was to really identify potential schools to take out of service and replace with every hopes of working with the Massachusetts School Building Authority. So, as you know, Conte Community School was the first community school built. It's slightly older than Morningside, and it does not have – it's an open space concept.
Yep.
And it, right up the street is Crosby Elementary School, which was junior high school, that was built as a junior high school. And so both facilities in near proximity to each other have certainly lived past their service as an elementary school and all the needs that we have in current education. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense to really look at a different model of school, along with the grade span changes, possibly. Mm-hmm. And so Conte and Crosby Elementary Schools were chosen to submit what we call a statement of interest with the Massachusetts School Building Authority. And The proposal that we've put forth to the MSBA is to have what we call a dual campus on the Crosby Elementary site. As you, if you've been to the site of Crosby Elementary, it's a beautiful, expansive piece of property.
And one of the nicest properties in Pittsfield with a view and a great amount of land.
It's simply stunning. Mm-hmm. And in serving the west side, it just made a lot of sense to create what we call a dual campus school. And as we study those grade alignments, our proposal so far is to develop a campus on the Crosby property that would serve pre-K to first grade students and grades 2 through 4.
Okay.
And so it would be actually two schools on the property that would share what we call a common core. So you would see two distinct schools, two principals, but they would share those facilities such as gymnasium, cafeteria, library and media center, a core set of offices, if you will. So it would allow families for a number of years, even though they'd go to two distinct different schools, to go to that property. You may know we've also been looking at, right now we have 8 elementary zones, attendance zones, and part of our forecasting and studying has been to collapse those down to 3, with really the Crosby property serving as a model, a potential model for our city.
And what are the advantages of collapsing it from 8 to 3? What will work better in that situation?
Well, you know, that's a great question. You know, right now we spread resources, financial resources, personnel resources over 8 schools.
And 8 physical buildings and properties.
8 physical plants, yes. And, you know, one of the things that was just presented, and this is a stunning number, to the School Building Needs Commission just the other day, is that, you know, there might be some community members that say, let's just keep everything the way it is, right? It works for me.
Sure.
We don't have any financial resources to build a new school. But they provided, DRA provided a number that if we were just to keep everything status quo, that over the next, I believe, 3 decades, we'd have to spend almost $500 million to maintain the properties and the facilities.
An eye-popping number.
It was stunning. you know, and I'm sure people on this School Building Needs Commission were taken back and maybe disagree, but there's a lot of need, even though those elementary schools were remodeled a couple of decades ago.
Yeah.
So that would be, that's the concept that we would collapse the 8 attendance zones into 3 with dual campuses strategically located throughout the city.
So essentially with the 2 schools located in 1 campus at the Crosby site, you're really taking one school off the playing field, right?
That's right.
One building, one physical plant. Not necessarily the principals and the administration. You're keeping that potentially the same, but you're sharing some of the facilities. That seems to be where some of the cost savings could come from, right?
Yes. When you're sharing those core facilities, grounds maintenance, et cetera, that's where you do see some of the cost savings. Mm-hmm. And what it does allow for is, you know, many families don't appreciate the concept of a large, let's say, 800 student elementary school.
Right.
And so this allows for consolidation, but still for their child to be part of maybe a 400 seat elementary school, much more intimate and targeted. And then when they advance into a different grade span, they're still coming to the same property, right? So parents have the ability to know really staffs from both schools, and be part of that community for a number of years.
Well, that's one of the things I think that's been great about the Pittsfield Elementary system is that you really join a community, right?
Yes.
I mean, even the parents make friends with other people that they wouldn't have met in the community because their kids go to the same school and they see each other, you know, for an extended number of years, really. It's, you know, 5 or 6 years that they're all together as this group before they move on to something else. And so, you know, having them there and even if it's two separate schools. It's one facility, and you get into that routine of, you know, dropping your kids off or seeing that the students are going to plays or going to, you know, whatever student activities, sure, wherever, always at that location. So it sounds like it preserves some of that as well.
Yeah, it does. And that's critically important, mm-hmm, for families, and I would agree with that in every way. And so, you know, the eventual, and this is many decades down the road, would be to have three campuses across the city, very similar to the Crosby campus, mm-hmm, that would serve our city. Some have asked, well, you know, can we start doing this work now? Because we don't have the ability to build three campuses. And the answer is yes. Hmm. And so
couldn't do it all at once, for sure.
Couldn't do it all, you know, all the construction. But we can, if the community decides and the school committee and our committee as a whole, we can build what we call partner campuses, to really start configuring our city into three elementary attendance zones. Hmm. And so, for instance, you know, could Williams Elementary School and Egremont Elementary School be partner schools, even, mm-hmm, though they wouldn't be on the same piece of property, mm-hmm, but they would share that commonality that the cohort that started it, throwing some examples out there, that started in pre-K at Williams, mm-hmm, would travel together all the way through grade four at Egremont. Mm-hmm. And so, again, at different sections, locations in our city, but truly would form what we call partner schools. So, okay, that can be accomplished. That three elementary zone model can, mm-hmm, be accomplished much before we can, mm-hmm, construct all new elementary, yeah, schools.
And then the ultimate goal, of course, would be also to reduce the number of physical plants that,
yes,
we have, right? Because that's the costly part of keeping all these buildings active and running. So what's the target number for that? If you have one combined campus on the west side for Crosby and Conti, and let's say that the the Williams and Egremont connection works, and then you'd need one more, maybe what, for the north end, or what else? And then what would you end up with, six?
Yeah, that's where we would end up ultimately with three campuses, and six buildings, if you will, mm-hmm, on the Crosby property. They would be on the same property.
Okay.
And that's where we have to do some further study, because there would need to be, for that campus, you know, Williams and Egremont is a likely match because, yeah, of proximity.
Yeah.
So what will we have as that third campus? And that's a question we have right now, because we desire to take Morningside eventually out of service because it's an open space concept, mm-hmm, which leaves us with Capeless,
yep,
but a smaller school.
Right.
So could we expand some capacity at Capeless with an addition or renovation?
Mm-hmm.
I know Allendale School is always a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
For many reasons in relation to the environment.
Right.
Would that be something we desire to take out of service? Mm. So that's still a question on that side of the city,
yeah,
what we'd ultimately move to. I would certainly desire to build a new campus in quicker fashion on that side of the city, so, mm-hmm, we could take Morningside out of service and have a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
and that's
yet, again, to be determined.
Yeah, and that seems like the tougher nut to crack, right? Maybe the one that happens later than earlier in the whole process.
Yeah, that definitely is. There's some tougher decisions to make for that side of the city.
Yeah. What might happen to old school buildings that are taken out of service because they're still reasonably solid buildings, just maybe not for the educational purposes that they're meant for?
Yes.
Could there be some reuse of that?
Well, you know, that's a great question. You know, right now we have the Hibbard, former Hibbard Elementary School that we use as a storage facility. Mm. So we've certainly expressed a desire to give that back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Mayor Marchetti is exploring selling that building and maybe to a developer that would turn it into condominiums.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we do have some target uses for Conti Community School, because that seems like the building that would be taken out of service most immediately, and to possibly move our central offices there so we could give back Mercer Elementary School to the city, possibly for sale and development for condominiums because it's proximity to downtown.
And that does seem like a pretty normal path for that. And, you know, I just had the housing secretary on the show last week where we talked about the housing crisis. And,
you know,
the more residential and housing you can put online in the city, all of those things will be a benefit as well.
Yeah, so that's something, you know, we do have some rental properties currently that we use for alternative programming. So could we place
such as the
Eagle Academy and Crosby Academy, which is now located at Crosby, but wouldn't be part of a new building plan?
What about the Adult Learning Center?
The Adult Learning Center as well. So we have a number of rental properties that we would love to bring back to city-owned property. Yeah. So could we do some light reconstruction to Conte Community School, maybe even Morningside eventually, to reuse those facilities and not rent space. So that's certainly our desire in quicker fashion so we can save money in our overall budget. And so we do see many viable uses for the community schools when they're taken offline.
And, you know, cost-saving measures are important as well, you know, along with the educational priorities. You certainly have to think of that first because, again, it's a long-term solution. It's not something that is going to happen overnight, but you do have to plan well ahead for what the needs will be, as you said, 20, 30, 40 years from now, not just in the next couple years.
Yeah, it's so important, and that's why the demographic and the population projections that we engage in are so critical because you often hear how the school age population is on the decline now as opposed to the 80s certainly even 20 years ago absolutely but our population our school population has remained very steady over the past 3 or 4 years over always hovering above 5,000 students. And so, and we see in those enrollment projections that go into the 2030s, it remains virtually absolutely consistent through that.
That's an interesting change too, because in the last 20 years, I think we heard a lot of projections about enrollment numbers and about population numbers in the Berkshires, right? And people were, it was all gloom and doom, I think is fair to say, right? They said, oh, this is just going to keep trending downward. And as you said, back to the 80s, when you look at that, sure, there are a lot fewer people, a lot fewer students, and the same number of school buildings. And that makes sense to reexamine and look at that. But then, you know, you have to look at that line and say, well, where are we looking at?
Right.
Are we, you know, are we looking at decline more? It doesn't look that way now.
Right. It doesn't.
It's very interesting.
And that surprises many people when we showcase those enrollment projections. And there actually will be an additional study of enrollment projections if the MSBA accepts our project into their grant program. They will conduct another set of enrollment projections throughout our city. But, you know, as you've heard many times, the number of school buildings has remained the same since we had 4,000 or 5,000 additional students. But the needs of students have changed dramatically. Right. So in those days, even when I was a teacher at Morningside Community School, we had close to 700 students at that time, 25 students in a classroom. In every classroom, four classrooms per grade, but the amount of services and supports that we are obligated morally and ethically and legally to provide now have changed dramatically.
And you need space for that.
You do need space, and so I always use Egremont, a great school, but they have had to carve out a number of what we call service spaces. You know, for school adjustment, counseling services, occupational therapy, physical therapy, reading intervention. None of those buildings, when they were remodeled in the 90s, included any of that. So we've had to repurpose spaces to fit those offices and those service provider spaces. So very different than the 80s.
And very different from the old days of the brick schoolhouses.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why things can't stay the same, right? Things change, things evolve. and that you just, it's natural to do that. And we've also seen that if you don't invest in your school buildings, like is proposed with this new campus on the Crosby site, you fall further behind because time marches on and school buildings just get older and older to the point where you'll have to do something with them at some point.
Yeah, and you saw that with the old Taconic, right? Yeah. There wasn't a substantial plan, if you will, and it just kept deteriorating to the point where it had to be under a wrecking ball, if you will.
And you don't want to have all these projects stacked up all at the same time, right? Yeah. That's a crisis.
Right.
So the idea of investing while you can, and moving that along the timeline. So let's talk about the timeline in the few minutes that we've got left. The statement of interest was put in to the MSBA, the School Building Authority, back in April.
Yes.
Right? And it's kind of a long process, but now summer marched on, and here we are in October. We're getting close to the time where we should be hearing back from the state about that, right?
Yes. They came out, representatives from the MSBA came out in August, conduct what they call a senior study visit.
And so that sounds like a good sign.
It was a very good sign, mm-hmm. and we were encouraged that it happened in August, to be quite honest, that the board had brought our project in consideration earlier than typical. But we are supposed to hear officially in December of this year if our project will be accepted into the pipeline. Mm. So they were very appreciative, I will say, and they did say this at the senior study meeting, that we had done a year's work before we did the submission, and really having those 13 community engagement events and having a projection of a long-term, essentially half a century plan of how this new building project would fit into the scope of our vision for the future. So they did acknowledge that and certainly appreciated that that was done, because they indicated that not all school districts do that. Some just go online and fill out the application and see what happens.
Yeah.
But we had done a substantial amount of work before that.
Well, you certainly want the likelihood of them considering the project strongly. So
yes, absolutely.
And as we heard back in the spring, there's no guarantee statement of interest produces the interest from the state to move forward with the project. So it could not happen this year, but you'll know by December. What's the school department's and the city's next responsibilities? Let's say hypothetically that the state says yes, we're moving forward with that. What are the next steps?
I would actually have to engage with the school committee and the city council for funding on a substantial study that really talks about the viability of the new school, what would its size and capacity be in relation to the demographic enrollment projections for decades to come. And so there would be a substantial engagement, again, with the school committee and city council for approval of that funding.
So they'll have to put up some money, basically, for the study.
Yes.
So that's the next step.
It's about, in rough estimate, about $1.5 million dollars. Mm-hmm. Now, we are eligible for reimbursement. Mm. Percentage to be determined, but roughly 80%. So it wouldn't be $1.5 million dollars at the taxpayer's expense, but we would have to put that forth.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big decision with our city council.
Right. And knowing that this whole process, the way that the state handles new school buildings, and we saw this with Taconic, as you, it's a very long, involved process with lots of different consultants and people, owners, project managers, and things like that that get involved. But the city, at the end of the day, does not pay the full tab of building a new school. Whereas if you were just repairing old schools, that all sits on the burden of the taxpayers.
Yeah, right? There's only a few things that qualify in the repair wheelhouse for state reimbursement, and that's typically revolves around windows, boilers, roofs. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to build new service areas or classrooms or, let's say, an auditorium, or that would all be at the taxpayer's expense, where you're absolutely correct that we would be eligible for a substantial amount of reimbursement in building new. So when our partners at DRA presented that $500 million repair cost, potentially, if we held on to all of our facilities, most of that would not be reimbursable.
Right. Yeah. So, and then Superintendent Curtis, before we go, best case scenario, everything goes perfectly according to plan. When could potentially a new school on the Crosby site in the west end of Pittsfield open for business?
So the earliest possible would be 2028.
September of 28?
Yes.
So 4 years from now.
Right. Mm-hmm. But more realistically, 2029.
Mm.
2028 would be, like you were just saying, everything is flawless,
right? Which could happen, but
which I would love for it to happen, but you know how things work,
right?
But more realistically, that next school year, 2029.
And even while that's in the process, there could be other things going on to work with, as we've mentioned, the grade realignment with middle schools, and maybe even looking toward building other buildings for the schools on other districts.
Yes, and really having a substantial plan for building those partner schools and the reconstructing of those attendance districts. So lots of great work, important work for our city to really ensure that our school system evolves to where it needs to be to serve our kids.
I think of a juggler with a lot of pins in the air all at one moment, and that's that's the picture I have in my head.
That's
here.
That's a very accurate picture.
Superintendent Joseph Curtis, I want to thank you so much for being here. The time went by like nothing. Cool. We'll do it again. We'll come up and talk about the progress we're making with some of the grade realignments and other things as the committee moves forward. So thanks a lot for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Have a great day out there today. Morning Drive will return, of course, tomorrow. We'll have a live show with Howard Herman from the Berkshire Eagle, and then Bill Sturgeon will be back next week. So we'll see you then. Take care.